How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here all this week, Monday through Friday, here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network Series Satellite Radio Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network. The list goes on and on every day leading up to the WWE Royal Rumble pay-per-view, which kicks off this Sunday at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern, which means Sunday's show is going to end the moment the Royal Rumble goes on the air. Monday through Friday this week, we're here at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern. Replays at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern if you miss any of the show. And of course, every weekend, we are here on Saturdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern. Sundays at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Mike Sempervivi is joining us here as always. A full hour live here today. We'll be taking your phone calls at 855-478-4478. And among the subjects today, the Wrestling Observer Newsletter 2014 awards issue is available on the website right now for subscribers. For all of you that have gone through and read the issue, if you have comments today about who won, who didn't win, who placed where, any comments on the Observer Awards, now is your chance to give us a call today and talk about those. So that is coming up here in this hour. We've also got a whole bunch of news. Allegedly today, there was a billboard in New York that supposedly spoiled the main events for WrestleMania. However, it was a hoax. But we do have a little bit of information about some of the ideas they have for WrestleMania, plus more on that billboard. We'll talk about that here today. Mike Sempervivi's favorite diva, Taryn Terrell, has a role in the new Will Ferrell movie, Daddy's Home. We can talk to you about that here today. Paul Heyman did an interview for Rolling Stone magazine, talked a lot about not only Brock Lesnar, but Seth Rollins as well. What did he have to say about Seth Rollins? What does this mean for future storylines? We can talk about that and so much more. And your phone calls, as noted, 855-478-4478. Back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. The phone line's already ringing, 855-478-4478. Here all this week, Monday through Friday, at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern. And we're talking many things today, including the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Awards. And Mike, first question before we go to the phones. Anything in the awards this year that really surprised you?
Even though I thought the organization and the wrestlers involved as a whole would do better, I'm surprised that New Japan got the support that it did. I don't know why I'm so surprised.
I don't know either. This was the story of 2014 was New Japan.
Yeah, and if you look at, you know, even if you didn't win, if you look at where now Zack Sabre wrestles for Noah, and he has been a name in the UK for quite some time, but I think there was an effect of him wrestling in Revolution Pro against Nakamura and Prince Devitt, as well as coming to America to work in PWG this year. I think that had an effect. I mean, Bruce Tharp getting the votes that he got in a couple different categories. And really probably the one that stood out the most was Shinpei Nogami, the New Japan announcer, finishing second in the best announcing category. I think all those things, as well as, you know, several others, it was really a big surprise and kind of shows you how head and shoulders above the rest of the wrestling business that New Japan was perceived to be.
The annual Wrestling Observer Newsletter Awards, everybody, are available on WrestlingObserver.com right now if you're a subscriber. And I know a lot of you are listening right now, so if you've got thoughts on any of the awards, now's your chance to give us a call and let us see what is on everybody's mind at 855-478-4478. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Ed in San Antonio.
Ed, what's going on?
Well, I want to talk about the Observer Awards and how angry and outraged I am for the lack of women wrestlers represented in these awards. It's just an outrage, and wrestling fans need to open their minds and see that there's more than just WWE and Japan.
You know what's sad, Ed, is the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Awards here convinces me even further that we don't need an all-women's show at WrestlingObserver.com.
Well, you are wrong, and Dave is wrong, and he's out of touch about women's wrestling not being big enough to be covered or have their own awards.
Homeboy, the Wrestling Observer readers got to do all of the voting. They could have voted. You could have voted. You could have voted Leva Bates for Wrestler of the Year if you wanted to, Ed, but The majority...
I just forgot to send in my ballot.
I see. Well, that wouldn't have made any difference, I'm afraid, Ed. For once, your vote didn't count.
Okay, well, I want to give out three of my own awards, if I could, real quick, and then I'll let you guys go. One, Women's Wrestler of the Year, Mia Yim. Two, Ed's personal favorite wrestler, Leva Bates. Three, World's Prettiest Wrestler, Solo Darling. And those are the only awards that matter.
The only awards that matter. All right, Ed.
And there's somebody that can vote for Io Shirai for all of those awards over any of the people that you named.
So, Ed, are you going to put together some plaques that you're going to provide for the winners the way that the PWI Illustrated Awards used to be back in the day?
That's a good idea. I actually should do that.
It is a very good idea, if I do say so myself, Ed. I think that you should get on that immediately, and I want to thank you very much for the call. Leva Bates, Ed's personal most favorite wrestler. I want to see that on a plaque, preferably on her Twitter. All right, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Ryan, what's happening?
I have a storyline idea that I think Ed would enjoy.
Oh, I wish I hadn't hung up on him. Go ahead.
My idea is to bring Dave Meltzer in as the top heel manager for WWE, and he would manage a group of wrestlers, male and female, that would be like good technical wrestlers, and the group name would be called the Hookers.
The Hookers.
And they would feud with the Hookers.
Okay.
And they would feud with the cast of Total Divas, so they'd be feuding with the Bella Twins, John Cena, Daniel Bryan, and they would be upset that they're making a disgrace out of wrestling with this Total Divas show and not setting a good example for the children with all the shenanigans that they do on the show. And Meltzer would try to destroy everyone on the cast of Total Divas and replace them with real wrestlers like Cesaro, Chris Hero, Casey Carlisle, Jesse Kay, and...
Who?
Tessa Blanchard, say.
No offense to any of these people, but your storyline went off the rails when I heard Casey Kasem, or whoever you suggested, is one of the wrestlers.
Casey Carlisle.
Casey Carlisle, I apologize. My big question is, what about Vinny from Total Divas? Would he be involved in this storyline if this were a male and female group that Dave was leading to destroy the cast?
No, Dave would play a very serious character and might even, you know...
No, I'm aware of that, but would the Total Diva cast involve Vinny? You know Vinny, right? Vinny from Total Divas? Cameron's boyfriend? He looks like that guy from Despicable Me?
Gru?
Dave wouldn't have a problem. Dave would only have an issue with the wrestlers that are making a mockery out of the sport.
I see. And Vinny is not making a mockery of the sport, that's for sure.
No.
Well, a very interesting...
I don't know if you've seen it, but...
Go ahead.
I don't know if you saw Total Divas, but Natalya is getting a little frisky on the show with what she did to Paige.
I did see... I want to thank you very much for the call. I did see an animated GIF, or a GIF. It's your fault I said GIF, Mike. You did that the other day.
Sorry.
This is not peanut butter here. I saw an animated GIF of Natalya spanking Paige and also grabbing her bosom, which I guess is one of the new draws. Maybe that's why Total Divas did that 1.3 million viewers it did this week, because of all the groping that is going on between the ladies on that show.
I would have considered watching if I had known that.
All right, let's try the phones again. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
What's up, Brian and Mike? It's Chris in Nacogdoches.
Chris, hey. What's happening?
Oh, not much, man. Hey, I hate to do this. I really hate to do it, but I've got to somewhat agree with Ed.
That's impossible.
Really?
Yeah.
Leva Bates is your personal favorite wrestler as well?
What's that? Leva Bates? No. Of the women, I'd say Natty, but she's not my personal favorite of everybody. I think Nakamura deserved to win Wrestler of the Year, in my opinion.
That's right.
But I do think the WWE is kind of missing the boat on pushing the women. I don't think it's the fault of the readership of the Observer or anything like that. But I think they're missing the boat, and the best example I can say is how well Ronda Rousey did in the balancing.
That's right. What is Ed talking about? Ronda Rousey won 3 of the 5 biggest awards, and he's talking about how the women are underrepresented in the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Awards? He's a fool.
Well, Well, maybe so, but I think that you know, London's kind of an anomaly, and, you know, in and of herself. But still, though, I think they're missing the boat because there's people like Natty, people like Charlotte, there's people on the roster, and other women wrestlers. You know, we'll even throw Leva Bates in there to make Ed happy. And but there's Ivelisse Velez. There's a lot of women wrestlers out there that are really good, and I think could be, you know, maybe not, you know, main event WrestleMania or anything like that, but I think they could be, you know, semi-main or something if they were treated with some seriousness. And which leads me to a question I have for y'all.
Well, before you go to your question, let me just comment on that very quickly. I agree 100% that WWE doesn't do enough with the women. I watch NXT, and the women's matches on that show are awesome. The women's matches on Raw leave a lot to be desired, and that's just how Vince McMahon likes to push the women. Now, yes, Ronda Rousey made it very clear that if you are a female and you are deserving of a top award, you're going to win. The problem with the wrestling women is Vince McMahon, maybe I'm wrong, but I'd bet good money, Vince McMahon is never going to headline a pay-per-view with a women's match or a series of pay-per-views. Vince McMahon, I believe, has only headlined two Raws in like 1,100 episodes with a women's match. And I'm not counting something that aired at like, you know, 10:45 and was followed by an actual main event segment. But the actual closing segment on the show, two women's matches, I believe, in history. So stay on the line because I want to get to your other part of your question, and then we'll have Mike talk about this too when we come back. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi, also here, WrestlingObserver.com. And Chris from, ironically, Nakamura, Texas, I believe, is here on the line.
Yes.
Yeah, and Mike, I want to give you a chance to discuss the women here first, and then we will see what else Chris has on his mind.
It's not an insult to anybody, because I know that there are hardcore followers of Shimmer, which is, you know, Shimmer and Shine being the gold standards. I know people like WSU. It's not my bag, you know, but it's not that there's not talented women out there. It's not even that they would not deserve an award of their own. I just, the way that everything is set up right now, Japan, you know, I don't think people, to me, the knowledge isn't there. You know, as far as, you know, fans, everything is so spread out in Japan. I mean, there's Sendai and Stardom and Diana and Wave and Reina and Ice Ribbon. There's so many different organizations, you know, AAA and CMLL in Mexico. Obviously, it was Sexy Star making an impact on Lucha Underground. But they don't have her in Joshi, you know, women's matches. And it's not a priority for WWE. And I'm not saying that one day there should not be a women's award. I just don't think, I think we're going to get a lot of blue pants in voting, and it's not, to me, it's, I don't know. To me, the knowledge, unfortunately, is not there. And I don't think the interest is there to have a women's award. And that's no insult to great women's wrestlers. Like, you know, whether it be the Shirai sisters or Tomagawa or cheerleader Melissa or Gail Kim or anybody. It's just I don't think the knowledge base is there enough that to make it fair. And I just don't think the interest is there.
All right, Chris, what else was on your mind?
Well, what Mike was talking kind of transitions into my question. And so was what you were saying before the break kind of transitions about Vince, not, you know, only wanting to push the women a certain way and all that. And with Stephanie McMahon, you know, in the hierarchy, and Michelle Wilson as well, and now this Lisa Fox Lee being promoted to her new executive role, there seems to be a lot more women in the executive structure of the company. So I'm wondering if y'all see the women's division treated more seriously in the future, because we even had a match that you could argue was the semi-main event for SummerSlam this last year, which was a women's match.
That's true.
More of a storyline with Stephanie. But I think I see in the future with all these more women in more powerful positions that maybe in the future the women will get a more prominent role, and that will change the whole belief structure. But it's a hard road to hoe, as they say. But, you know, and who knows what will happen. But I was wanting to get y'all's thoughts on that.
I hope they do. I really hope that they do, because you have, I mean, just in NXT alone, you have Charlotte, you have Sasha Banks, you have Becky Knox or Becky Lynch. You you know, that you have Sarah Del Rey there as one of the trainers. Obviously, you know, the Fit Finley influence from over the years that he had training women. I mean, and on the main roster with Natty and AJ Lee and the women that they have there, all you need is a story. To me, it was always like junior heavyweights where it's like, well, nobody cares about them. They're too small. No, if you come up with a reason to want to see them, people will get involved in that story. And the women are the same way. And they probably have more qualified women in the entirety of WWE right now than they may have ever have. I think that's true. They do have more qualified women to be in main situations on the main roster than they ever have. It's just a matter of treating them properly. I mean, look at Naomi. You know, again, just look at Naomi and what she's been involved with. And it doesn't make much sense that she's just wasting away there.
If you want to give us a call, everybody, 855-478-4478. Anything that's on your mind, you don't have to concentrate on the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Awards. If you've got thoughts on the Royal Rumble, for example, you're welcome to call about that. Today, there was a picture that showed up online of a supposed billboard in New York that allegedly already had a poster up for WrestleMania, which presumably was not supposed to go up until after the Royal Rumble, and it featured Triple H and Sting, as well as Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. And I can tell you that it is not a real poster. It was photoshopped over an old picture of Brock Lesnar before he did the season of Ultimate Fighter. And I can tell you that there are a number of different WrestleMania posters that have been created. And a few of them do, in fact, have Triple H and Sting, although that should not come as any surprise because Triple H and Sting is, I think, really the only match that we can confirm for WrestleMania, even though it has not been made official. But that one seems to be on the books. And what happens at Royal Rumble on Sunday? I guess we shall see. I can tell you that the odds makers, and this doesn't mean a whole lot right now, the odds makers, they put out their odds for various matches. And usually Sunday afternoon, during Wrestling Observer Live, by the way, we find out what the final, the smart money is coming in terms of the odds. But right now, in a heavy favorite, is a heavy favorite for the Royal Rumble, the three-way title match, Brock Lesnar and John Cena is, I guess, in second place, so to speak, and a distant third is Seth Rollins. Now, keep in mind that that is only the odds for the match itself. So if they do a finish and then Seth Rollins cashes in, that would not figure into those original odds. So we may have a Brock Lesnar title win and then Seth Rollins cashes in to win the championship if that's what they're going to do. Or they may just go with their original plan, which was Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Day's coming, Mike. What do you think they're going to decide?
Or they can go with my plan and have Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. And then I know you have a very, very, very short window when it comes to Brock leaving and Seth Rollins to actually cash in his briefcase because we'll be going up on a year and it would be a very short title reign for Bryan. But you could have Daniel Bryan in that hard fought match. You can have maybe Brock destroy Bryan afterwards, which leads to Rollins, and not at WrestleMania. I would do this on Raw or somewhere else where, you know, you can have that happen that way. I still think that Brock Lesnar, and to me, whether he has the belt or he doesn't have the belt, Brock Lesnar and Daniel Bryan is still the way I would go at WrestleMania. There's storylines, there's backstory, everything can be tied into that. And I know, you know, that there's the idea of, well, Brock Lesnar's got to be a good guy or gets a face run before he leaves. I don't necessarily feel that way. You just have to figure out a way, in my opinion, to slide Paul E. then away from Brock and get him over to Seth Rollins.
Well, listen, I'd love to see a Brock Lesnar match with Daniel Bryan as much as the next guy, but I just don't feel it in my gut that that's the way they're going.
Well, if Brock leaves, though, I mean, I obviously, if he's got the title, great. You know, I guess you get Reigns over that way. I just don't see how Reigns Lesnar at WrestleMania is going to be. I don't know if there's enough teeth for that. I really don't.
They sell it underneath Sting's only match in WWE history in a big-time match at WrestleMania.
Well, they love to have that happy, go lucky, go home finish, though. So does that mean Sting and Triple H is the main event over the title match?
It's possible.
You'd have to almost.
Well, you don't.
Do that.
It doesn't really matter which one goes on last. It really depends on what your finish is going to be.
It depends on what the reaction is going to be to Roman Reigns. I think in that case, it does.
Well, you know, Vince could think that Roman Reigns is going to get a big babyface pop. But, you know, whatever you put on last is whatever you put on last. Whatever you hype is what's going to sell the show. So they could put all of their hype behind Triple H and Sting and then still finish with the Roman Reigns match. They could do whatever they want, but we'll see. Let's see what's on the minds of the callers. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is John from Nashville, Tennessee.
What's up, John?
Oh, not much. I was going to say, you know, I've been watching wrestling forever, probably 20 years. Well, not forever, but 20 years.
I was going to say, that's not forever, John.
I was going to say, tell me about former Burns then.
That's right. But go ahead.
No, definitely don't know anything about that. But I just noticed it seems like with Vince McMahon Jr., when you watch, you know, old WWF footage of him, you know, he does a lot of the interviews and the commentary. And it seems like at that time, you know, the idea of professional wrestling, he was okay with. But it's almost like when he, you know, took the company over, he was very clear to call it sports entertainment. And when you look at it now, the way it is the past, you know, I don't know how many years it's been, it really is. You know, it's definitely not professional wrestling in the sense that the way it was in the 70s and 80s. And I just wonder, you know, like what you guys think about, is there any, could you ever think of any reason why Vince doesn't like the idea of wrestling? I mean, I guess the sense of calling it wrestling and versus being entertainment. Because it just seems like, it almost seems like the older he gets, the more he just kind of feels like it's a dirty term.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. We're about to head to a break, but when we come back, we will discuss this in detail, because I have a lot to say about this, and I presume Mike does as well. So stand by, everybody. Back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, talking all the news in wrestling and mixed martial arts. Every single day this week, Monday through Friday, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, Saturdays and Sundays, Saturday morning at 10 Pacific, 1 Eastern, Sundays at 3 Pacific and 6 Eastern, and I have been doing a lot of shows this week, averaging 3 a day. Already had a show up today with Todd Martin talking all the news. Dave Meltzer and I were up for 90 minutes last night talking the Observer Awards. I got another show later on tonight with Vinny talking NXT, Lucha Underground, and more. And for the latest news and access to all of these shows, head to WrestlingObserver.com. Every show that we do is available for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. They all immediately go into the archive. So if you sign up today, you have full access to every single radio show that we have ever done dating back to 2005. Over 6,000 hours of audio, double the amount that is available on the WWE Network. Interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling. Everybody from Ric Flair, Steve Austin, Jim Ross, Lance Storm is on the show on a bi-weekly basis. Daniel Bryan has been on the show. Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins when they were indie wrestlers. The list goes on and on. All of these available for you as a subscriber. And not only that, you get full access to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Figure Four Weekly, everything on the website. It is the number one website in the world. If you're a fan of wrestling and mixed martial arts, you don't need any other sites. Everything you need is up there. If you love listening to audio on the way to and from work, this will take care of you literally for the rest of your life. So head up to WrestlingObserver.com. Try it out for a month. If you don't like it, you never have to sign up again. But as many, many callers have noted here on this show, if you sign up, pretty much guaranteed you'll love it. If you're a listener, a regular listener of Wrestling Observer Live. So check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. And I'll be back later on tonight with more on the website. Mike, before we go to this next caller, the previous caller was asking about Vince McMahon and why he calls this sports entertainment and not pro wrestling. My feeling has always been he wants to be a respected businessman. And you're a more respected businessman if you're, for example, the man behind Disney on Ice, which is his version of pro wrestling, the WWE sports entertainment universe, than if you're a wrestling promoter. And probably also a lot of it has to do with the idea that maybe they can sell advertising better as sports entertainment than as pro wrestling. What are your thoughts?
Well, there was that. They didn't want to pay the tax in New Jersey and all that sort of stuff. So they said it was, you know, officially came out and said it was exhibitions. And God, what was that, 1987 or whenever it was?
89.
It was that late. I'll be darned. But yeah, he's always just the Snake River Canyon deal with Bob Arum and the Ali Inoki thing that he got behind and wanting to make movies. And he's the XFL. He just kind of wants to be again, sports entertainment. The wrestling is what he's obviously the backbone of everything, and he needs to keep that. But yeah, he always has this thing about wanting to be bigger or different or work things in different ways that goes directly against what professional wrestling fans really like. And it's annoying as a longtime wrestling fan. I've been watching wrestling now since, you know, the early 80s, and you know, it's very annoying because I think you can have a great product. And I think, again, to go back to New Japan, it proves itself there. You can still be simulated sport with a lot of bells and whistles and crossover appeal and things like that, and still make it work. And he always seems to push against that. And for whatever reason, it's just that's what his father did, as he has said many times. I'm not in the professional wrestling business. I'm in the sports entertainment business. And he wants to cross over into different things. But what he doesn't realize is, you know, when the dude from the Colts was doing the strut in the locker room, you know, he was modeling himself after Ric Flair and the Ric Flair that he grew up with. You know, you still hear people talk about guys like Bruno Sammartino and the Ric Flairs and the Hulk Hogans and all that stuff. And nobody ever says, I'm going to see the sports entertainment show. They say, we're going to see pro wrestling. And I think he pushes that away too much and puts too much emphasis on everything else that just sometimes doesn't matter and works, you know, just is so counterintuitive to what he's trying to do.
All right, let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian and Mike. This is Danny Hernandez from Dallas, Texas.
Danny, what's happening?
And before I get to my question, I do want to say if potential new subscribers, the hidden gem with the description is you get to hear Granny on Thursdays. Like, you know how ESPN, Mike has a show with Dan Levitard and his dad? Doesn't compare to Granny, Brian and Vinny.
They stole that idea from Brian and Granny.
That's right. Granny has been a regular on the show since about 2006, so we came up with that idea. I came up with having a grandmother.
My real question I want to talk about.
You invented the concept. Go ahead.
I want to talk about the best night in professional wrestling, Wednesdays, and NXT and Lucha Underground. And hopefully y'all watch those shows. Big thing that happened on this week's Lucha Underground was the last man standing match between Drago and King Cuerno. And I think in Lucha Underground's presented, a last man standing match just doesn't work. For example, there was a spot like opening the match where King Cuerno hit like a suicide dive onto Drago. And then that's when the ref started counting the 10 count. He didn't get up to the 8. Even though earlier in the night there was a lucha match, like guy does a suicide dive, guy takes the bump and gets up right away. So I think in the style that they present of this like fast pace, 100 moves a second, like a last man standing match just doesn't come across, you know, as it can be.
So essentially, you're saying that the last man standing stipulation pretty much kills the momentum of the match.
Right. Yeah. Compared to the rest of the show, it isn't what they have presented before. So this is like a, you know, it's not the brand that people get used to. Well, it's like a slower match than what they're used to in the show.
So did you watch NXT yet or not?
I did, yes. Go ahead.
And also a very good show?
Yeah, good show as well. I think one thing we got to work on is Hideo Itami. Like, he had a good match. No, I liked his fire at the end. But it's been 3 matches in a row. He's used 3 different finishers. Like, he has double foot stomp, you know, the roundhouse kick, and like a running drop kick. And then they gone away from teasing the DTS. But, you know, it's developmental to keep on trying new stuff. That, like, for example, once you see the finish for the match with Tyler Breeze, like, you're not sure that's his finish because he has been using different finishers every single match. And like, you know, repetitions, fans get used to repetitions, like, he doesn't have a definitive moveset, so.
Well, all I know, and I want to thank you very much for the call, all I know is last week was the first week that Vinny and I did not watch Impact on Thursday nights, because Impact has moved to Fridays, and so instead, we had the choice between watching SmackDown or watching NXT and Lucha Underground from Wednesday. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to watch Lucha Underground and NXT. Watch SmackDown over the weekend. And let me tell you, that was the most fun I have had on a Thursday night in I don't even know how long. The double whammy of Lucha Underground and NXT is so great. And so I have given up on the idea of watching SmackDowns on Thursdays. That can wait until the weekend. I will enjoy myself some Lucha Underground and NXT tonight and never look back.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see NXT yet. I only saw bits and pieces of it, but I did get a chance to see my very first English language telecast of Lucha Underground last night. And I will say this, after listening to Matt Stryker and Vampiro, I think I'm going to stick with the version that's on Unimas with Hugo Savinovich and Vampiro.
Really? He was that annoying?
He really was. He really was.
Matt Stryker, you know what's funny, everybody? I hate to say I told you so, but I like to remind everybody of my genius. Everybody was worried about Matt Stryker doing the Tokyo Dome with Jim Ross. And one man stuck up for Matt Stryker in a way. And that man was me. Do you remember this, Mike? Do you remember what I said about Matt Stryker?
No, I don't. Well,
I said that Matt Stryker is very much like Vince Russo. Where
I don't remember this.
When Matt Stryker, I said on an Observer Radio, Matt Stryker is always good the first day. The first day that he did Lucha Underground, he was really good. Back when he was a commentator with WWE, when he first got that job, he was really good. Just like every time Vince Russo gets a job somewhere, like the very first show that he books is always really good. But once you get past the first show, the first couple of shows, it all goes down the drain.
I'm starting to think I said that on Observer Live and you just took it into Observer Radio.
I've never stole somebody's idea, Mike, including the idea for Miz and Mizdow in the Royal Rumble. But anyway, I did think that Stryker's probably going to do really good, or he's probably going to be fine, that very first Tokyo Dome show. And he was. But I think that if he does another one, and another one after that, or if he had, for example, been the guy that did New Japan on Access, I think the first show with Mauro would have been great, and shows 3, 4, 5, everybody would be ready to vote him Worst Announcer of the Year in the 2015 awards.
Which, yeah, you know, after hearing him on Lucha Underground, he's certainly on my list right now. The show was good. The show was always good. I'm a big fan of their, again, the aesthetics. I know a lot of people hate the building. I don't necessarily hate the building, although last night with the what chants and things like that, it's like, no, fans, please don't do that. But as far as the action and the characters and Dario Cueto and everything else, the Big Rick thing was a little wonky at the beginning, the former Ezekiel Jackson when he was laid out by Castro and Cisco, but you understand why he was. Those guys got paid off by Cueto, and they're going to ride with him. And again, it is a fun show. It's a quick hour, which, you know, compared to the 3 hours of WWE, it's not even close.
The Lucha Underground and the NXT, every week, it's a toss-up. Which one, to me, is the best show of the week? And I love Wednesdays as a result. For those of you that are unaware, the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Awards, the worst show of the year was won by Raw. Worst show of the year. In addition to that, when they did the Worst Announcer of the Year, the winner ended up being JBL, but only by a fraction of the voting, as number 2 and number 3 were Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler. It was a terrible year for Raw. SmackDown, I don't know where SmackDown placed. I'd have to go back. Best weekly show. SmackDown was all the way down at number 9, which, as I noted last night on the show, I can't believe 9 people actually voted SmackDown as the best show of the week. It's impossible for me to believe. That show
was the only one they watch.
So boring. Actually, you know what? I've been thinking about this a little bit. I can tell you why 9 people voted for SmackDown. They may have been the 9 smartest people because they figured out that Raw and SmackDown are the same show, but SmackDown is only 2 hours and Raw is 3 hours. So if those are the only shows that you're willing to watch and you're willing to make the concession that they're the same show, nothing new ever happens on SmackDown, and you choose that one over Raw, then yes, I can understand you voting SmackDown as the best television show of 2014. But that's pretty much the only way that I can imagine that.
This week in WWE will get votes then for next year.
Hey,
because if you watch that, I mean, like you said, there's very little that happens on SmackDown of first run importance. Mostly it's recapping Raw. And if you watch it this week in WWE, you can kind of bypass everything altogether.
SmackDown was beaten by NXT, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, Dragon Gate Infinity, Ultimate Fighter Season 20, Raw, which amazingly 2 people thought Raw was the best show of 2014, New Japan World, and TNA Impact beat SmackDown. I can't believe that SmackDown beat Main Event, because Main Event is usually a more exciting show.
And again, it's a wrap-up show with usually a Cesaro or a Kid or somebody like that, so yeah, but... It was a tough year, and unfortunately people don't get a chance to see Infinity, and there's people without the network who aren't seeing NXT, and that's unfortunate because they're really good shows, and obviously Lucha Underground's audience is very small right now, but again, you take those shows as well as Ring of Honor's show for all of the negatives you can say behind Sinclair not helping them out more, they're all better shows.
All right, everybody, we are going to head to a break. Back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And I was, during the break, messing around with this week's brand new Observer, which includes the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Awards. And every week on this show, I plug all of the radio shows you can get at WrestlingObserver.com as a subscriber. And I should mention that you also, obviously, get the Wrestling Observer Newsletter and the Figure Four Weekly and back issues. And this week's Observer is 41,561 words long. So for those of you that got the original Death of WCW, it is half the length of Death of WCW. That's one newsletter. It comes out every week on the website. And back issues as well. So for those of you that are listening to the show all day and hearing all of the discussion that we have made here about the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Awards, might want to sign up for the website because the Observer comes free with your subscription. So you get all of the audio shows, you get all of the archives, and you get all of the Observers and archives, plus Figure Four Weekly. So sign up there. Tomorrow we're going to be back, everybody. We are here all this week leading into the Royal Rumble. Weekdays at 2 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. And if you missed any portion of this show, it is going to be replaying later on tonight at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern, here on Sports Byline USA. You can also check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. I've got a stream on TuneIn Radio. If you search F4W Live or Wrestling Observer, you can get our 24/7 stream. And I've been running a marathon of this week's Wrestling Observer Lives up there as well. So make sure you check that out. And of course, this weekend we'll be back Saturday and Sunday. Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, leading into the Royal Rumble. So that's it for today, at least here on Sports Byline. I'll be back later on tonight for subscribers on the website. And we will be back here tomorrow with more as well. 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern. Thanks, Mike, all the folks at Sports Byline, all of the listeners and callers. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.